Could it be that up in heaven, God is sitting on his throne, anticipating another sinner will soon become his own? Years of wasted living and years of toil and strife are just about to be over as he receives the gift of life. Go sound the horn, strike up the choir. A sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven rejoices, that's the value of one. The Holy Spirit has been working to soften up our heart. All he needs is a willing servant to simply do his part. Can you imagine up in heaven the joys that day as a sinner bows his head to pray? Can't you hear the Father say, go sound the horn, strike up the choir, a sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven rejoices, that's the value of one. Start construction on his mansion there on Hallelujah Street. He doesn't know yet what is waiting when the Savior he will meet. Go sound the horn, strike up the choir. Son, all heaven rejoices, that's the value of one. Go sound the horn, go sound the horn, strike up the choir, that's the value of one.
We're going to turn in our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter number 15, if you would please. Proverbs chapter number 15, we'll read just one verse to get started this morning. Proverbs chapter number 15, and beginning in verse number 20. Proverbs chapter number 15, and beginning in verse number 20. The Bible says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing upon the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Father, we certainly know that we have gathered together in vain today unless your Holy Spirit takes your eternal truths and applies them to our minds and hearts for our spiritual good. Father, we have come together by faith, believing that you desire to speak to us. We pray that we would be attentive listeners and that you would accomplish your work in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Proverbs 15 and verse number 20 kind of relays the way God has set up the home. It gives us kind of the components of the home, the father, the mother, and the child. And so the Bible says in verse 20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And so wisdom, we've talked about a lot in the book of Proverbs when we studied through it, and I mention it from time to time. I think wisdom in the Bible could be defined as skill in accomplishing things that really matter. And so in order to accomplish things that really matter in life, I've got to, if you will, exercise wisdom. And part of that is figuring out what does matter, and then part of it is accomplishing it. And so if I want to accomplish, or if I do accomplish things that really matter, well, then this will make my father glad, of course, and that makes sense. Foolishness in the Bible is thoughtlessness. It's not foolishness. It's not not really an insult in the Bible. It's more of a description. It's about thoughtlessness. When the Bible says the fool hath said in his heart there is no God, it's saying that he hasn't really thought things through. He hasn't considered the evidence that is all around him, and therefore his thoughtlessness has allowed him not to make a decision of the mind, but rather of the heart. And so the fool has said, not in his mind there is no God, but in his heart there is no God. So a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man, someone that doesn't think things through, and a foolish man despiseth his mother. And so God has set this world up for us, and if things go according to God's plan, we are to grow up in a home with a mother and a father, every child is. And in the book of Proverbs, you see those characters a lot, mother, father, and son, and obviously son just representing children. And it seems to me that this is a concept of kind of a microcosm of life. You know, you have the mother, the father, and the son, and the father has a relationship with the child that is, in a sense, a relationship with the power to enforce his rules, right? So typically, and I'm speaking very generally here, the father is much stronger than the child. The father is much bigger than the child. The father not only can make rules, he can make you do it, you know, kind of idea, right? And the mother represents kind of the other side of authority and leadership in our life. And that is the side that is not physically imposing, the side that cannot necessarily enforce their rules by sheer physical force, but instead offers direction and guidance in a more gentle way. Now, that's not always the case, right? You know, someone's in here saying, my mom could whip my dad any day of the week, all right? But, you know, but let me just say, that doesn't typically happen, all right? Doesn't typically happen. And so the idea is that you have these two sides even to God's authority in our life, right? I mean, there's a God is, of course, all-powerful. Fatherhood is a representation of him, I should say. So he's all-powerful. He has complete power to enforce anything in our life. But, strangely, here on this earth, he has given us free will. And instead, he mostly leads us by his word and his spirit, which are much softer and gentler, and I don't have to obey them, right? And when you think of the father and the mother and the son, well, a son eventually gets big enough where in most cases, mom could not make him do what she wants him to do. And a son would be a fool if he doesn't understand that that doesn't mean she doesn't have value in his life and that her words don't carry great instruction. And so notice what it says again, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man. It's talking about when he grows to maturity and mom can't tell him what to do any longer. I still remember as a boy growing up, I still remember, strangely enough, the last time my mom spanked me, and that's because it didn't hurt. I was about 10 years old. My mom could not hurt me any longer by the time I was at about 10 years old in a spanking form, right? And so at that point, because she realized she couldn't hurt me, Dad did all the spanking after that, all right? And so that was the idea. And so the concept here is that in life, we've got to be wise enough, and we're able to start this process when we're growing up in our own home to realize that there are some authority and instruction in my life that carries great force behind it, and if I don't do it, I'm going to be in trouble, and I ought to listen to that, right? But there's also gentler instruction in my life that I don't actually have to listen to, and that is softer spoken, and it's not even probably going to yell and scream at me. It's not even going to make me do what I'm supposed to, but I would be a fool not to listen to that instruction as well. And this is kind of what you see all through the book of Proverbs. It seems to me that the father in the home represents authority that has the power to enforce rules by sheer might. The mother, on the other hand, I think represents authority that does not have the physical power to enforce rules in this way. Certainly, this is not always true, but generally, I think it is. It is easy to despise authority and when I say authority, I mean authority that I ought to listen to. You know, there's authorities in our life, and someone who knows more than I do in areas of my life, well, that should be an authority to me, right? I shouldn't say, my mechanic, he knows nothing about this, right? You know, or, you know, the builder knows nothing about this. You know, there's going to be, I want to make sure that I value information from people that know more than I do. That's what an instruction manual is all about. Let me just say, it's easy to just throw the instruction manual aside and say, I'll look at the picture and build it. But the truth is, it's not a wise thing to do. It's not well thought through. You say, why? Because you're not the manufacturer, of course. And so in life, we've got to learn to listen not just to the authorities that have the power to put fear in us, but also to the authorities that have wisdom, that have understanding, that have knowledge, that have truth beyond us that we don't have to listen to if we don't want to. Only a fool has the attitude of, well, you can't make me do it. You know, if it's the right thing to do, you should do it whether they can make you to do it or not. And so in life, we've got to understand this concept. And so we can practice this with our mother especially. Let me just say, it happens, the temptation to despise your mother, especially for a young man, almost always occurs in their growing up years. It almost always happens. Because they begin to realize, Mom can't make me do it. And let me just say, sometimes they're in sixth grade and they're a foot taller than their mother, right? And the truth of the matter is, they've got to understand something as a son. And let me say, daughters the same way, children in general, have to understand something. Just because an authority can't make me do it doesn't mean I shouldn't listen. If it's right, I should listen. I should always be open to information that and consider whether it is right, not whether the authority has the power to enforce it in my life or not. That's irrelevant. To despise is to take lightly. It's like, I don't have to listen to you. You can't make me do it, right? That's the idea. And we are warned against despising our mother throughout the book of Proverbs, such as our text, but a foolish man despiseth his mother, Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. That means to listen carefully. And despise not thy mother when she is old. Just further reinforces. This is not only a mother, but it's a mother that is old, that can't really do anything at all to affect your life in a negative way by sheer force. And yet the Bible reminds us, don't despise that. You know, don't despise the quiet, still, calm voice of a mother. Don't despise the frail, weak, tender instruction of a mother. Don't mistake gentleness for a lack of knowledge. Don't mistake the idea that just because you're more powerful than your mom, that therefore you shouldn't listen to her. That's foolishness, right, in life. And let me just say, if you learn to only listen to those authorities in your life that have the power to enforce things in your life, then you will miss out on much of the great instructions of life. And most importantly, you will miss out on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's leading, because they are quiet voices in your life. Gentle, not demanding, not forceful. Now, there's coming a day, you know, there's a reason we live in a world. You know, this world is just it's laid upon the template of the spiritual. And there's a reason that moms say, wait till dad gets home. Because let me just say, the still small voice of this book and the still small voice of the Holy Spirit are temporary. There's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Let me just say, wait till dad gets home, right? So you're much better listening to the instructions of the gentle, quiet, soft Spirit of God through the Word of God than despising that until you face the Father, of course. And this is a truth of life. Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. In verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. And so the Bible is very clear. Don't despise your mother. And children, let me just say, teenagers mostly probably that are in the room and children that are here, work hard at it. I mean, young men especially, let me just say, work hard at it mentally. And say, yeah, mom can't make me do what I'm supposed to, but it doesn't mean she doesn't have great value in my life. She loves me. And let me just say, a mother's love, I mean, it's an amazing thing, a gift of God. And let me just say, there's probably no one in the world that loves you like your mother loves you so purely and sincerely that she literally has your best interest at heart in every bit of advice she gives you. There's probably nobody with less hidden motivations than a mom in typical fashion. There's hardly ever anything more pure than that. And so just because you don't have to listen to her maybe, or she can't force you to do what you say, let me just say, that doesn't mean she's not valuable. You've got to get your mind to think, my mom is very valuable in my life. And I'm going to understand that reality, and I'm going to live by that reality. You say, why? It's more important than your relationship with your mom. It's bigger than that. Because there are so many other gentle authorities or gentle instructions that will come into your life. The most important, as I mentioned, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And they are gentle instructions in your life. And if you learn to despise your mother, I doubt you won't despise the Word of God. I doubt you'll value the Spirit of God if you despise your mother and her instructions. Because in a sense, you'll get this attitude of, you can't make me do it. And when you get that attitude, you only listen to people that can make you do it. And that's a foolish way to live life. A foolish way to live life. So don't despise your mother or that role, if you will, that role of instruction that comes in a gentler fashion than that of the father. Instead, the Bible is clear. We should honor or value both mother and father, of course, Ephesians chapter 6. And it's so important that God says it's the first commandment with promise. And that promise is that we'll dwell long on the land. And I don't think that's like an individual promise to individual people, because I know some really good kids that have died at very young ages. And I know some really bad kids that have lived to long, long lives, right? Instead, it's a societal promise, I think. It's an idea that if societies understand this and teach it, that it will benefit everybody as a whole. Learning to listen to things that can't make you do it. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see the purpose there. It's right. If it's right to do, then I should be willing to obey anybody, no matter how weak they are in position in my life. If they're telling me the truth, I should be willing to listen. Definitely should be willing to consider and willing to obey if I discern that it is the truth. Verse number 2, honor, that means to value greatly. Thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So it's this idea that God really has set up this world to teach us, I think, these truths that transcend the family setting. It's not just about my relationship with my father, my relationship with my mother, my relationship with my children, although they're all very important. But it's bigger than that. It's philosophies of life that affect every area and permeate every societal endeavor, right? It's learning to listen to right and truth, no matter where it comes from. And especially when it comes from a sincere person that loves me and is trying to do right and trying to instruct me to do right, boy, I would be a fool to take that lightly. This is God Himself in our life. He speaks very, very quietly to us today, offering us instruction, but with no show of force in the moment, rarely any show of force. I mean, quite literally, we can resist the Holy Spirit relatively easily without much immediate consequence. And that's because God is showing us that gentle side of Himself, giving us an opportunity to have our hearts right. And let me just say, that's why the Bible says that if I yield to the Spirit, there is no necessity of the law, right? If I'll do right because someone who has no power to enforce it tells me and explains to me what is right, if I'll do right then, I don't need anybody to enforce it. I can just do right. That's the way I'm supposed to live in this life. So let's talk a little bit about these opposites, honoring or despising our mother. And it certainly applies to our personal mother individually in our home, especially when we're children. But even as we grow into adulthood, we still should understand that a mother's sincere love, especially if she's trying to get us to do right, ought to be taken very seriously and seen as very valuable. And so we're going to talk a little bit about, kind of in light of a mother-son relationship, about kind of the bigger picture here of making sure that we're not despising things that don't have the power to enforce what is right. So number one, honoring seeks input. Honoring seeks input. So if I honor my mother rather than despise her, I seek her input. Let me just say, young people, we are teaching in the world today our young people to not value their parents' input in their life, and this is foolishness. I mean, weirdly enough, our young people are wide open to go on YouTube or wide open to go on the internet or wide open to the songs that they listen to and some musician who doesn't care about them at all. And if they knew them personally, they would know that they weren't even a decent person, right? And yet the children will listen to everything they say and they'll take it as fact. We have what? Influencers, they're caused it. Let me just say, kids, teenagers, influencers don't care about you. They care about their wallet, and that's why they're an influencer. Yeah, that's right. And so their advice should not be taken as valuable. It just shouldn't be. It shouldn't be taken as valuable at all. But let me just say, your mom does care about you. Seek her input. You say, well, you know, my mom, she grew up a long time ago and doesn't know anything about today. Yeah, but she knows a lot about life. And that applies to things of today. So honoring seeks input. Proverbs chapter 12 in our Bible. Proverbs 12. I can't honor my mother without seeking her input. If I don't seek someone's input, it's just because I don't think they're valuable to my life. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 1, whoso loveth instruction. Instruction is the right way to do something. That's why they call it an instruction manual. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. That's truth. That's information consistent with ultimate reality. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. Well, I don't want to talk to my mom, or I don't want to talk to my dad about it because I know they won't agree. Don't hate reproof. Now, let me just say, even when you're big enough where you make a lot of your own decisions, and even when you're grown and you make most all of your own decisions, let me just say, don't despise the fact, well, mom and dad can no longer make me do it, so therefore they're not valuable in my life. That's foolishness. It's foolishness. It's one of the great detriments of kind of what we do in the world. And I'm not preaching against it necessarily today, but we take our young people and we pull them out of their homes and out of their families and move them across the country, separate them from all of the great influences in their life at the most vulnerable stages of their life, growing into adulthood. And let me just say, it's very dangerous. Yeah, some young people totally drop communication with mom and dad. They go off to college, and for 4 years, they hardly talk to mom and dad at all. And let me just say, that is a dangerous place. You lose your moorings. You lose all of the depth of knowledge that can be transferred when one generation, things from how to fix a car or how to bake a cake to things of much greater importance, spiritual truths of life. And I'm not preaching against college. I went to college. My kids went to college. I'm just preaching against the breakdown of communication that can cause if we're not careful. Honoring seeks input. Avoiding input shows that you despise. And let me just say, when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, honoring seeks input. The Bible says that His Word is, of course, so valuable that it's more valuable than fine gold. But if I don't ever seek it, it's because I don't believe that. Right? The leading of the Holy Spirit is mostly found through prayer. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And He shall direct thy paths. But if I don't honor, I don't value the Lord's input in my life, then I won't seek it. I despise it. I take it lightly. Despise doesn't necessarily mean I have to mistreat. It just means to undervalue, which often includes mistreatment, right? So honoring seeks input. Despising avoids input. Number two, honoring listens carefully to input given. Proverbs 7. In our Bible, in verse 24. Honoring listens carefully to input given. Now, we're especially talking about the mother relationship, the mother-son even relationship. And even at that point where a son is almost a grown man, or maybe even is a grown man, it's kind of like that authority in my life that doesn't have anything but the power of influence. They have no power to enforce what they want done. Honoring listens carefully to input given. Seeks input, then listens carefully. Proverbs 7:24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. And hearken means to listen very carefully. And you can always tell when someone despises your input. And children, of course, we as children always had this habit, right? We had to break this habit in every one of our lives as a child. And it was like this. Okay, I'm a child and I'm about to do something that I haven't done before or haven't done very much. And my mom or dad is standing there and they begin to instruct me on what to do. And long before their instructions are done, I'm already doing it. Right? It's like when you send your child to go get something in the other room, and it's like in a very difficult place to find for a child, which means it's right in the front, in the obvious spot. and you send them to go do it, right? And you say, okay, now listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you where it is. Listen to what I'm saying. And they're gone before you ever get done, right? That just shows that I'm not really wanting that input in life. And so what do you have to do? That's the natural state. I mean, we are naturally this way. We naturally don't want to be told what to do about anything. That's the natural state of man. We have to overcome it. And let me just say, every young man that has grown up in this world with a mother who loved them and tried to help them has had to, if they've been effective at this, has had to make themselves understand, my mom is valuable in my life. I don't want, yes, she's not big enough, strong enough to enforce her will upon me anymore, but that doesn't matter. I want to do what's right, so I'm going to listen to her instruction. Honoring listens carefully to input given. Of course, despising runs off as the input is given. It's just the mind is already doing instead of listening. Number three, honoring considers thoughtfully the input given. Now, the only way you can do that is first by listening carefully. Otherwise, you don't even know what they said. This is like reading the Bible, right? There's many times, and we've all done it, where we'll be reading the Bible, but our mind will be in some other place. And we'll get done with that chapter or that verse or that passage, and we'll say, boy, what did I just read? Right? It's because we really haven't listened carefully. And if I haven't listened carefully, I can't even consider what was said. And I don't know what was said, right? And so honoring or valuing considers thoughtfully the input given. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. That's to think deeply upon. Meditate therein day and night. That's to mull over and over in your mind, to think deeply about, to really try to understand, that thou mayest observe to do. That's the idea of it's an instruction manual. I'm absorbing the material so that I can perform the act. And this is the Bible it's talking about here. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And let me just say, it should be our habit. And I get it. There's lots of things that we do where we do it in a rush, and maybe there's some other pressing issues. And so we get it, and we know we have to put it together, and it's somewhat complex. But maybe we've done it enough times before that we feel confident. But as a general rule, let me just say, instruction manuals are meant to be read, right? And for the most part, you'd be wise to do it. Now, look, whether you put that chair together just right is not the most important thing in the world, all right? Whether that toy has a few extra parts that never got in it doesn't really matter that much. But the mentality of, I don't need any information. I don't need any knowledge. I don't need to listen to anything. That mentality can lead to a lot of catastrophic problems. Honoring considers thoughtfully the input given. Number four, honoring leans towards following the input given. Proverbs chapter number 12. If I value my mother, then when she gives input on my life, I lean towards that. In other words, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, you know I don't have to do what my mom says. I know that I don't have to do it exactly the way she says. I understand all of those things, but in general, I know that she cares about me. I know she's trying to get me to do right, and so I kind of lean towards what she is saying in life. Leans toward following the input given. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. The way of the fool, the thoughtless person, is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And that equation that is given there in Proverbs, you know, whether I'm a fool or wise, that equation gets more distorted depending on the counsel I'm getting, right? So it's foolish enough to not listen to any counsel. It's even more foolish to not listen to counsel from someone that knows something. It's even more foolish to not listen to counsel from someone that knows something that cares about me. I mean, it just gets worse and worse in a sense. And so I should lean towards following the the input given, when I value somebody's input in my life. And that's the same with the Word of God. I should lean towards following the input giving. Now, God's Word is always perfect. His counsel is always perfect. And therefore, I should more than lean towards it. I should just decide I'm going to follow it and do it. But nevertheless, when it comes to other authorities and influences in my life, even that don't have the power to enforce, if I value their opinion, if I value it enough to seek it, well, then I ought to at least carefully consider it, and I should lean towards following it. Shouldn't be kind of like this. Well, I have my own ideas. This is the way I'm going to do it. And then if it's absolutely obvious that I'm wrong, you know, then I'm going to do it the other way. Instead, it should be more like this. You know, I'm very open to information that will help me from people that love me and are more experienced. And therefore, I'm leaning towards following the input given. Sometimes I might come to the conclusion that the input given is not quite accurate and I need to make slight adjustments and go a slightly different direction. And that's, of course, acceptable, but under certain circumstances, but it should not really be my default position. Then finally, lastly, honoring never disrespects, even when not following the input given. I think we know this, right? If you're an adult here and you know your mom or your dad, you seek their input on something, and then you decide, you know what, I know mom and dad are sincere, but they also don't have complete knowledge in every area, and I'm pretty sure that this is the better course of action in my life. I should be a little hesitant for that. It definitely make me cautious, right? But a little better course of action in my life. But you know what? Even if I do, I'm going to say, you know, mom and dad, that's really good thoughts. I really appreciate the input. It definitely affected my decision. I'm not going to be disrespectful through the process. Exodus chapter number 21. Exodus chapter number 21. You say, why? Because number one, I care about that person. And if I really care about my mom and dad, I'm not going to treat them disrespectfully. And disrespect is a sign of despising them. Exodus 21, verse 17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And that is the idea of saying, basically, get away from me. I don't want your help or your instruction. You can't tell me what to do, seems to be the context here. And so honoring never disrespects, even when not following the input given completely in life. And let me just say, all of this is important to learn on my relationship with my mother, because it will help that. It'll help my relationship with my father. It certainly will help that. It'll help my relationship with my boss at work. It'll help my relationship with my teacher at school. It'll help my relationship with anybody in my life that is trying to give me information. But it will also, most importantly, help me develop this idea of making sure that I'm listening to things that give me good information so that I will listen more carefully to God and I won't despise His word and His leading in my life. For example, there's some people that even claim, if you will, to believe God or believe in God, and you'll talk to them and you'll say to them, you know, do you know from the Bible that you have a home in heaven? Have you ever been, as the Bible calls it, born again? And they'll say something like, well, you know, I just think if you're a good enough person, you'll get to heaven. You say, yeah, but have you ever listened carefully what God says about it? Right? Because God says a lot of things about it. For example, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. God says a lot of things about it. For example, James 2:10, he says, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if you think you're going to get to heaven by your own righteousness, but the Bible is so clear that you won't, after all, if I could get to heaven by my own righteousness, why would Jesus have died on the cross for my sins? I mean, do you not know that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane literally said to God the Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me? But there was no other way. That's why He's the way, the truth, the life, and the door. and no man cometh unto the Father but by him. That's why he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, the Bible says. And so let me just say, someone who's saying, I really value the Word of God, I really believe in God, but doesn't take the time to find out what God says about it. I was talking to a lady a while back, a few weeks ago, here on the north side of Moorhead, and I asked her if she knew what the Bible said about going to heaven, and she said, well, I go to church, and I believe that I'm going to go to heaven. And I said, well, why do you think so? She said, well, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty good person, and that will get me to heaven. And I said, well, have you ever considered what the Bible says about whether we're pretty good people or not? And I began to show her some of the things from the Bible, and after I got done, she said to me, she said, well, you know, I just really feel good about my chances, even without that. And I said, you know, ma'am, I said, the problem with feelings is they just have no basis, no necessary basis in reality. For example, you could be here today, you could be feeling great about your health. You could think, I'm in the best health I've ever been in my life. Everything could be, there's probably one four-year-old that feels that way this morning, at least, you know what I'm saying? By the time you're 20, you never don't feel that way again in your whole life, but suppose you do feel really good about your health today. Doesn't matter. You could die of a heart attack tomorrow anyway. You could have cancer growing in your body right now and not know it. Feelings are not that important, to be honest, in life. It's about what the Bible says. And the Bible is very clear that without Christ, we're deserving of an eternity in hell, condemnation for our sin, and that only when we come to Christ, realizing that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day, and now anyone that believes on him for salvation will spend eternity in heaven instead of in hell. Only when we realize what the Bible says. And then what does it say we have to do? Well, the Bible's pretty clear that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus said himself in John 3, of course, where famously John 3:16, of course, is at. Before that, he said, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again, or ye cannot see the kingdom of God. Ye must be. And then he said, of course, famously in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Notice what it doesn't say. Whosoever goes to church should not perish, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say whosoever lives a good life shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say that. It says whosoever believeth in him. It doesn't say whosoever gets baptized. We're a Baptist church. We believe we have a baptismal pool right up here. We believe in baptism, but baptism doesn't save you. The only thing that saves is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, and that's what's important. And let me just say, you say, well, I'm just going to do it my way. Go ahead. That's your choice. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit. God's not going to make you receive him today. Well, I'm just going to do it my way. Go ahead. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. God's not going to force you to receive him today. He's not going to force you, but you would be a fool not to listen to what he's saying. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed this morning. Every head's bowed.